Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do the same message, but I want the last verse first. Please. Okay? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. I don't know, it's just the Bible says it, so I'm trying. Judges 17:6. Hit me square between the eyes. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Message is called The Missing Piece. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day and the time that we live in, which feels odd to say thank you for. But there is no greater time, there's never been a greater time in history for us to spread the gospel. There's never been a better time for us to be your church. God, make us your church. In all of its splendor and its glory. Father, as I share this message, Lord, I seek to share it to an anointed crowd. Anointed eyes that will see and ears that will hear. And hearts and minds that will be anointed and opened to your word. To this seed that will be planted to produce a harvest. A powerful, bountiful harvest in due season, God. And Father, I need your anointing to be able to share this message. For us to find the missing piece. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been reading through the book of Judges. And I ran a, if you read the book of Judges, you'll find this quote, this verse, not this verse, but this same thing in that book, time and time and time again. No king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That could read, no king in America. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Could easily read that. Whether it's, you know what? I don't need to name it. You know it. I mean, you know what we're talking about. You see it everywhere you go. You deal with it in your job. You deal with it in your school. You deal with it in Walmart. You deal with it at OnQ. You deal with it everywhere. Everywhere, but maybe the church. Maybe. But I think it's here too sometimes. We had a kid that we used to go to church with. Who's living a different lifestyle now. You know? I love a kid. It's tough. It's really tough. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in our society. You cannot turn around without it being right there in your face. Robert was faced with it this morning. I don't know what it was that he saw, but something that he saw that affected his heart. Oh, that we would be affected in our heart by what we see and whom we deal with and whom we come across. And not in a way that says, oh, you're so terrible, but in a way that says, you're missing something and you're trying to find what that is. Right? Because I think that's where it's at. That is in my mind, when I read this, I read this verse and instantly in my spirit, I knew instantly the story I was going to preach. The message that was coming. I knew instantly when I read that verse, instantly what it was that I needed to share this morning. I don't know why. I don't know how. I just knew it. The moment I read that verse, I was instantly transported in the Bible to another section of Scripture. And I have, in thinking about this, praying about this, in worship today, I have realized that is, in my mind, in my spirit, that is the reason we see so much of what we see in so many different people, whether it's alcohol abuse, drug abuse, gambling, any other addictions, any other lifestyles, or any other things. The thing that we face, the thing that is the thing for all of these people, is that there's something missing. And they don't know what it is. They can't put their finger on it. They just know something's missing. There is a missing piece, and they just don't know what that piece is. And if they knew what that piece was, it would bring peace. And so we have to, as the church, we have to look at anyone that we come across that is dealing with any of these type of issues with love, with absolute unconditional, God-given, godly love. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what their situation is. And that is so easy. It's the first lie I've told today. Just kidding. It's not easy. It's so hard sometimes to deal with these people, and when we see them as not as a project, but as a potential brother or sister, when we see them as someone that God loves, and when we see them and can see ourselves beforehand, before we knew God's love. Like, oh, I know what that was like. I remember when I was before, right? But before Jesus, I remember that. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. In my Bible, it's titled "The Rich Young Ruler." As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And then go with me to verse 20. And he said to him, "I have kept all these things from my youth up." When I read this, when I read Judges, it instantly transported me to this moment where the young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "How do I get eternal life?" And then Jesus tells him these things. And then he says, "Okay, I've done all that. I've done all that. What I hear is something's missing. What I hear is I've done all of these things, but yet I know there's something missing. Like there's just not, I'm not completely fulfilled. I'm not where I think God wants me to be. I'm not who God wants me to be. There's something that is missing. And I've been there. Something's missing. I just know, and I don't know what it is. I just know something's missing. And I wish that was just an outside of the church thing. But it's an inside of the church thing too. Because if you read this story and you keep reading it, you realize this guy has been trying to do the right things. He's been doing all these right things. Verse 20, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. I've been doing all that stuff. Right? I've been doing all that. But yet he's still asking the question, how do I get eternal life? It's like, Jesus, there's just something missing. There's just something that I don't have. Something inside of me. There's what one theologian called the God-shaped hole, right? There's still something that's missing within me. There's a puzzle piece. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard me talk about a lady that we used to go to church with down south, who we still dearly love and will love forever. And her name is Joanne Hazelbaker, but everyone just calls her Aunt Sissy. And I used to be scared of her. I'm not anymore. And you heard me talk about helping her with puzzles, because I would go to her house sometimes and we would sit there and work. She'd always doing puzzles. And one time Tammy and I went over there to her house and she had this puzzle. And she had the entire puzzle done except for one piece. And she had turned her house upside down looking for that one piece. In fact, she took one of the floor vents off to see if it fell in the floor vent, because it was under the table where she did her puzzle. And then she forgot she took the floor vent off, and she stepped in the hole and hurt herself and had to have some, like, she sat there for I don't know how long waiting until somebody finally came and checked on her and helped her get out of the hole, right? And that's why we were there, is because we had heard that she had fallen and we were there to check on her. And we're sitting there and we're talking to her, and she said, I have looked everywhere for that puzzle piece. I've looked everywhere. And she told us a story about falling in the vent and all this stuff. And we're sitting there and the puzzle's there on the table, and the puzzle box is sitting there on the table next to the puzzle. And I just picked up the puzzle box and went, and opened up the puzzle box, and there it was. She was so mad. I mean, she was so mad. Are you kidding me? I'll never forget pulling that puzzle piece out of the box that she had been searching everywhere for. And I couldn't bring myself to put it in the puzzle. Like, I just, there it is. You can do it later when we leave or something, because I can't do that for you. I found it for you, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to finish the puzzle for you. And I think, how many people are doing just that? Looking everywhere for that missing piece. I mean, looking everywhere. Looking into relationships, looking at drugs and alcohol, looking at any other thing, like just looking anywhere to find that missing piece. And yet it's so close. They could touch it. And I think there are, I don't think, I believe with all of my heart that there are people sitting in churches today that are feeling like something's missing. We're not immune to it. We're not immune to it. We can be in all the church services that we want, every week, every service that's there, and still be missing something. It's absolutely possible. The title of this passage, The Rich Young Ruler, tells us just by its description that this young guy most likely had everything he would have ever wanted. Everything. Like, he had all the clothes he wanted, all the jewelry he would have wanted. He could have had probably any relationship that he wanted. I mean, he had everything. He was a rich young ruler. He was the kind of person, he was the kind of man that a lot of the women would have been attracted to, right? He had financial security. He had all that he needed. He was the kind of person that other people would look at and think, man, he's got everything. How many times do we look at people who are in different situations than ours and just think, man, they've got everything? Look at the car they drive. Look at the clothes they wear. Look at the jewelry they have. Oh, man, did you see her wedding ring? Oh, my word. My goodness. Oh, here's something the ladies will get that the guys will go, huh? The bottom of her shoes were red. See? I see guys looking around going, huh? What does that mean? What is he talking about? Uh-huh. Yeah. Your wife doesn't have red shoes or you would know it. I'm just telling you. At least your bank account would. Bless Jesus. I don't know how much they cost. I just know it's more than I would ever want to pay. Amen. But you just see that description and you think, man, this guy's got it all. But yet you find him going to Jesus saying, what do I do? How do I get eternal life? How do I make it into heaven? Something's missing. Something. I don't know what it is, but something's missing. And there's something in that first verse, verse 17. Something there that really spoke to me. And it's simple. It's one word, but it's powerful because it doesn't tell you, it tells you that the rich young ruler didn't just see Jesus and go, hey, Jesus. It says he ran up to him. Right? He ran to Jesus to ask his question. That tells me it was an important question to him. It was something he really wanted to know. It was something that there was it speaks to me that there was not just a desperation, but a desire to get the answer to this question. How do I get eternal life? And I think it's maybe the most valuable, the most important question to ask. And maybe that's why he ran. But verse 17 says that a man ran up to him and knelt before him. Right? I mean, that so simple, so obvious, and we just read over it and just go, oh yeah, he ran up to him and knelt. No, he ran to him and then got in front of Jesus and knelt down before him and asked his question as if he knew he was asking the right person. As if there was a reverence, there was a respect, there was something there that this guy is trying to show Jesus how serious he is and how desperately he wants the answer to this question. Good teacher, what shall I do? Good teacher, man, something's missing. Something's just missing. And then you get to verse 20, and you can still hear, okay, teacher, I've done all that. Okay, right, good. But I've done that. But I've already done that. It's almost like you can hear this young guy saying, yeah, Jesus, I know. I've done that. Yeah. Like he got the church answer. you know? The what I tell the youth group sometimes, the Miss America answer, you know? World peace. What do you want? World peace. You know? But it's like, what do you really want? I'd love to see one of those candidates sometime. Not that I ever watched one of those pageants, but and some of you do, and great. It's just not my deal. But I would love to hear one of them answer honestly, like, really? You know? Instead of that thing they think they want, they're supposed to answer. You know, I'm supposed to say this. Did you know God doesn't want you to say what you think you're supposed to say? Like, he doesn't want you to say that thing because it's how you've heard them say it in church your whole life. Right? I listened to a message a friend of mine preached last Sunday. And in his message, he used a word from the platform. And I don't know that I have the boldness to use this word. And he even knew after he used the word, he said, some of y'all are already offended. And I just thought, okay, this is interesting. I guess I got to keep listening now. But it was, some people were offended because it wasn't the type of word they were expecting to hear in church, right? And then, as I have told some of you before, sometimes we make the mistake of, in my opinion, what I believe to be a mistake, let me preface that, of expecting that the conversations that were happening at the table with Jesus and tax collectors and sinners was all these and thous and oh holiest thou art God. They're tax collectors and sinners. They were not religious people. So I'm pretty sure when Jesus sat down to dinner with them, he knew what to expect. Right? And that's what grace is for. And that's what mercy's for. Not saying as church people, we should be using those kind of words and be, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're not church people, so don't be surprised at how they talk. He wasn't surprised at how they talked. But yet there he was, sitting with them, having a meal. I think he wanted them at the table. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. This is Jesus' response to the rich young ruler after he asked, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Those are the things Jesus told him. That's why the rich young ruler said, yeah. Jesus, I've done all that. Jesus says, you know all this. You know the commandments. You know what it teaches. Don't do all these things. Don't. And do these things. Right, those are simple commandments. And I know there's a lot of different things that we can, that we can... Okay, let me rephrase. When I hear the rich young ruler's response, I hear him say, yes, I've learned all that. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I do all of these things. I dress in the religious clothes. I do all of these things. I do all of that. I obey the commandments, I sing the songs, I raise my hands, but yet, there's still something missing. Then we see in verse 21, Jesus' next response. After the rich young ruler says, yeah, Jesus, I've done all those things. Jesus then says, looking at him, felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. And in my mind, rich young ruler goes, okay, one thing. All right, Jesus, what is it? It's one thing. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor. Is there another thing? Is there a different thing? Can I have a different answer than that one? Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And I could point out several different things about that verse and tell you this thing or that thing, but I'm not going to tell you those things today. I'm going to focus on the one thing that I believe to be the one thing in all that he said there. The one thing that is the most important, the most pertinent, the most powerful, the most essential part of Jesus's response to the rich young ruler. Come and follow me. And that's it. And that's the thing that too often the church gets wrong. Because too often we try to put all of these other expectations, all of these other things to follow Jesus. You have to do all of these other things. And Jesus says it's really simple. Just get rid of all of the stuff that keeps you from following me and follow me. That's it. Just follow me. I'm not going to make you jump through hoops, right? You don't have to stand on one leg like our police officer's not here. You don't have to do the whole, you know, I would never be successful at that. And I don't, you know, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to, like there's all of these expectations that so many of us have felt like this. You had to do all of these things to love Jesus and to follow Jesus. And Jesus says it's really simple. Get rid of all of the junk that keeps you from following me and follow me. And that's the missing piece. The missing piece is come, follow him. That's it. And what happens is you come and you follow him, and as you follow him, you learn. And as you follow him, you start to find that the things that you used to do are no longer important to you, and the things that you used to want to do, you don't even want to do anymore. And you find that somewhere along the way, Jesus made changes to you, and you didn't even realize he was making changes to you because you were just following him. And it was that simple. And he didn't say, pay all this money to follow me. He didn't say, you have to do this to follow me. You have to look like this, cut your hair a certain way. You can't have any tattoos or piercings to follow me. Thank God he doesn't say those things. Church would be really small today. Like really, really small today. He doesn't say you have to look this certain way and you have to always talk this certain way and dress this certain way and do all of these certain things. When the rich young ruler said, I've done all the commandments, but there's still something missing. Too many of us are trying to fit into a box that we were never designed to fit into. And too many of them out there look at the box and go, that's stupid. I would never want to fit in that box. But yet they still know there's something missing. That missing thing is just to follow him. And what does that look like? It looks different for all of us. But the expectation is different for all of us too. And I just know that he looks at us and sometimes... I literally think sometimes that Jesus looks at me and just goes, oh, you don't have to do all that. Like, you don't have to go to that extreme. I'm not asking you to do all of those things. Sometimes I think his request for me, You want to know the hardest thing? One of the hardest things in the world for me? Obey the Sabbath and keep it holy. You want to talk about a hard one? Oh. Work full-time job, pastor church, have a family, and keep the Sabbath. And oh, can I do it like in hours during the week? Can I rest this many hours this day and this many hours this day and this many hours? Like, I sleep 6 or 7 hours a day. Lord, is that enough? Does that count? That's not what he's asking you for. But yet, I think so many of us feel like, well, I have to get all this stuff done. I have to get this done. Most of the stuff we're trying to get done could wait a day. I'm just telling you. It could. And if it can't, the Lord understands. I'm just saying that. But don't tell him it can't wait when it can. Just saying. Some of y'all know who I'm talking to. I don't, but you do. Come follow me is a call to relationship with Jesus. Come follow me is a call to get to know him better, to spend more time with him, to allow him to pour out his love upon you, to allow him to do the things that you need that you can't do for yourself. Come and follow me is a call to get closer to him. Come and follow me. That means he wants to know you better and wants you to know him better. Come follow me is a cry for connection. He's like, I have so much that I could offer you and show you. And I could feel that so quickly and so easily. If you would just come and follow me. It's a place where deep cries out to deep. It's a place where honest communication happens and continues. It's a place where conversations begin. I started to say where prayer ends, but some of y'all would misunderstand me because I have a firm belief that prayer is just a conversation with the Lord. Prayer is just us talking to our Heavenly Father saying, hey, Lord, I need help with this. Hey, Lord, this person over here that I know needs help with this. Father, would you help them, please? Because when you see him as the Father, when you see him as your Heavenly Father, then you don't go to him begging for things. Because you don't go to your dad begging for things. You go to your dad and say, hey, Dad, and I really need some help. You've heard me mention this before. The book / movie, The Shaft. The Shack, where the main character refers to God as Papa, just familiar. It's just Papa, just talking to Papa. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just talking to Papa. Yeah. He's that close, that familiar, that real to you. I've shared this story before, but for some reason I want to share it again today. So if you've heard it before, just ignore me. But I remember telling Pastor Hawkins one time about driving in my work truck and praying and having one of those little Bluetooth headset things on, you know, the annoying little things that we see people walking around and they're talking to themselves and you're like, are you talking to me? You know, oh no, I'm sorry. Had one of those and I'm driving and it was on, but I wasn't on the phone, but I was driving and I was praying with my eyes open. because that's essential. And so I'm driving and I'm praying, and I end my prayer and I said, amen. And I went, boop. And I thought, oh boy, you're really dumb. Did you just hang up on the Lord? Did you really just hang up on God? Really? And I felt so stupid. Oh my word. And I told Pastor Hawkins, I said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what I did. And I told him, and in true Pastor Hawkins form, he said, Brother Seth, he said, that just tells me that the Lord was real to you. Because you were just having a conversation with him. And as you normally would, you ended the conversation, amen, and hung up. And I went, oh, yeah. That's right. Suddenly, I didn't feel so silly. And that's how real I want him to always feel to me. And that only happens with come and follow me. That only happens when you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk away from all this other junk that feels important. Sometimes we allow the other things in life and the world to feel too important. Can I just tell you they're not that important? Boy, I'm really stepping on toes today. I just feel it. I can feel it. I got some squirming happening. I got some people like, but you just don't know how bad I need to get this done. No, I know how bad you need to follow Jesus. I know how bad you need to allow him to be the Lord of all. The Lord of all, or not Lord at all. Right? That's I don't even remember where I've heard that song or something. But there's just it he needs to be Lord. He needs to be Lord. And he wants so desperately for us to just do that, to just follow him. And realizing and trusting that if I just follow him, all these other things, right? Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Like all that other stuff's going to get taken care of. Just follow him. And I know how hard that can be, and I know how much some of us just love the illusion of control. We just love the illusion of control. Because if I'm the one doing it, then I'm in control. You're really funny. You're not in control. You might want to think you are. You might really want to think you are, but you're not. Because he can do things you could never do. And he will do things that you would never do. But then he will also call you to do things that would not be something you would normally do, but only when led by him. It's a place where we are led, a place where teaching begins, where real love is experienced, where Jesus becomes king. And some of you don't even know you need a king. Some of you don't even know. You would say, Pastor, why do I need a king? Judges 17:6. That's why you need a king. Because when you don't have a king, when Jesus isn't Lord, when he's not the head, when he's not the leader, when he's not top dog, big dog on the porch, when he's not that, then you do whatever you want to do. You go however you want to go. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You ever found yourself trying to justify something that you know you shouldn't be doing? Well, but, you know, they did this to me, so I slashed their tires. But I did it with the Lord. Well, I heard them say the Lord's name in vain, and so, you know, I may have, you know. It's not justified. You can't justify some of this nonsense. We try really hard, and I get it. I understand it. But there's no justification for it. But when you come and follow him, you no longer need to justify those things because they're no longer the things that you have even a desire to do, because Jesus helps you to look at it differently. He helps you to start to say, man slaps you on one cheek, turn the other to him. Yeah, fun. Man asks you to go 1 mile with him, go 2. Man asks for your shirt, give him your coat too. Right, he starts to ask you to do these crazy things that don't make any sense. But you know, if a man asks you to 1 mile, go 2 with him, maybe you wouldn't get him converted in the first mile, but in the second mile you might. But we have to be willing to go that extra mile. And that's what come and follow me means. It means don't stop when it's convenient. It means go until I tell you to stop. Kind of like some of y'all, if you ever played, I don't know if any of y'all played football in high school or not, or college. I never did any of that. Went to high school though. And the coach would say, you're going to run until I'm tired. But coach, we're already tired. Yeah, but I'm not. Well, okay, could you get tired? Would you run with us? Something. Because I want you to be tired, coach, because I don't know how much more I can go. Jesus went the extra mile for us. He went the extra mile. Could have stopped at some point. Could have been placed in the tomb and said, okay, Lord, I said it was finished. It's finished. I don't have to come back. They don't have to see me again. He's willing to do all of it for us. See, this is where he's calling us. As a church body, this is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. This is what it feels like. Come and follow me is as much a commandment as anything else is that he ever said. Just come and follow me. Just come and follow me. And all of these things will be handled. All of this other stuff you don't have to worry about. He just says, come and follow me. And that's where you'll find the missing piece. That's where you'll find all that you've been missing, all that you've been looking for, all that you've been lacking is right there in that simple thing of come and follow me. And sometimes come and follow me looks like God calling you into a ministry. Sometimes come and follow me looks like God calling you to a place or to a people or to say something to somebody or to say something to a group of friends or say something to a group of people. Sometimes come and follow me looks different for so many of us, but yet some of us already know that Jesus in this entire message has been saying, this is what you're missing. This is it. This is what you're missing because you haven't been fulfilled. You haven't been excited. You haven't been like just pumped up to do, to go, to. You haven't been looking forward to it. Sometimes things can become so wash, rinse, repeat. Right? You ever read this, the bottle of your shampoo bottle? Wash, rinse, repeat. I've always wondered if there's some dude stuck in the shower somewhere. Just wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. I believe God calls us to more than just that. And more looks like following him. Where, Pastor? I don't know. That's between you and him. But you got to get close to him for those conversations to happen. You got to get close enough to hear his voice for those conversations to begin. You got to get close enough to him to hear that he's calling you to do this and calling you to do that and calling you near so that you can get to know him better, so that he can get you to that place. That place where you know him and he knows you. That place where you start to feel like he's so close to you that when you pray that you hit the you want to grab your phone and hit the stop button, the hang up button, like your silly pastor did, you know? He calls us to come and follow him. And that's what's missing for so many of us. That's what's missing. And there are millions of people out there who are looking for what's missing, and that's what's missing for them. Come and follow him. And they fight it with everything they have. And they pierce and tattoo and color hair and shave heads and get into all kinds of other kind of relationships and do all kinds of other things. Get into drugs and alcohol and all of these things. And they're all trying to find what that missing piece is. And that missing piece is so easy to find if you just look in the right place. Just like Aunt Sissy tearing up the house trying to find a piece that was sitting there in a box the whole time. He sits there in a book the whole time. Sister Tammy, if you'll find a song, I'm going to start to close out in prayer. But I want to close out in this way. If you would do everyone the favor of closing your eyes and not looking around, that you would act like you were going to do business with the Lord and that business that maybe you wouldn't want everyone else to see. Who are my people here that say something's been missing? Something's been missing. And I wasn't sure what it was. If that's you, just raise a hand. Anyone at all? Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you that you have supplied all that we need, that your word says that you supply more than enough, God. That you're a God of abundance. You're a God of blessing. That as we pour our hearts out to you, God, you then in turn pour abundance into us, Lord. That, Lord, if there be anyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, even in the recording, Lord, if we get this posted online, who knows that missing piece is missing from their life, God, I pray that you would help them to find it. Illuminate it for them, God. If they're not an active member of a church, help them to find a church, Lord. We'd love to have them here, but wherever you want to send them, wherever they need to be, Lord. Father, I pray that we would hear you, know you. God, that we would Lord, feel so close to you. Knowing that you are near us. Father, I ask that you would bless us as we leave this place. Oh God, that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh Father, that we would continue to take every step as led and guided by you. And that you prepare us for the path and not the path for us, God. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful day outside. Curtis told me he thought it was going to be in the 60s today. I'm just saying, I think that deserves a kite or a fishing pole or something. I'm just saying, need to be outside. It's a good time. We love you. Thank you for being here today.